Chapter 44, Automotive Wiring and Wire Repair. Automotive Wiring. Definition and terminology: most automotive wire is made from strands of copper covered by plastic insulation. Copper is an excellent conductor of electricity that is reasonably priced and very flexible. However, solid copper wire can break when moved repeatedly. Therefore, most copper wiring is constructed of multiple small strands that allow for repeated bending and moving without breaking. Solid copper wire is generally used for components, such as starter armature and alternator stator windings that do not bend or move during normal operation. Copper is the best electrical conductor besides silver, which is a great deal more expensive. The conductivity of various metals is rated in Chart 44-1. Chapter: American Wire Gauge. Wiring is sized and purchased according to gauge size as assigned by the American Wire Gauge, abbreviated AWG, system. AWG numbers can be confusing because as the gauge number increases, the size of the conductor wire decreases. Therefore, a 14-gauge wire is smaller than a 10-gauge wire. The greater the amount of current, in amperes, that is flowing through a wire, the larger the diameter, or smaller gauge number, that is required. See Chart 44-2, which compares the AWG number to the actual wire diameter in inches. The diameter refers to the diameter of the metal conductor and does not include the insulation. Following are general applications for the most commonly used wire gauge sizes. Always check the insulation instructions or the manufacturer's specifications for wire gauge size before replacing any automotive wiring. Application number 1. 20 to 22 gauge, radio speaker wires. Application number 2. 18 gauge, small bulbs and short leads. Application number 3. 16 gauge, tail lights, gas gauge, turn signals, windshield wipers. Application number 4. 14 gauge, horn, radio power lead, headlights, accessory power socket, brake lights. Application number 5. 12 gauge, headlight switch to fuse box, rear window defogger, power windows and locks. Application number 6. 10 gauge, alternator to battery. Application number 7. 4, 2, or 0, 1 or 0, gauge, battery cables. Refer to Chart 44-1, a list of relative conductivity of metals, showing silver to be the best. Refer to Chart 44-3, American wire gauge, or AWG, number and the actual conductor diameter in inches. Refer to Chart 44-3, metric wire size in square millimeters conversion chart to American wire gauge. Metric wire gauge. Most manufacturers indicate on the wiring diagrams the metric wire gauge size is measured in square millimeters of cross-sectional area. The following chart gives conversions or comparisons between metric gauge and AWG sizes. Notice that the metric wire size increases with size, or area, whereas the AWG size gets smaller with larger size wire. See Chart 44-3. The AWG number should be decreased, or wire size increased, with increased lengths of wire. See Chart 44-4. For example, a trailer may require 14-gauge wire to light all the trailer lights, but if the wire required is over 25 feet long, 12-gauge wire should be used. Most automotive wire, except for spark plug wire, is often called primary wire, named for the voltage range used in the primary ignition circuit, because it is designed to operate at or near battery voltage. Refer to Chart 44-4. Recommended AWG wire size increases as the length increases because all wires have internal resistance. The longer the wire is, the greater the resistance. The larger the diameter is, the lower the resistance. Frequently asked question: why is there a ground strap on my exhaust system? The ground strap is only there to dissipate static electricity. Static electricity is created when the flow of the exhaust gases travels through the system. Using a ground strap connected to the exhaust system helps prevent the static charge from building up, which could cause a spark to jump to the body or frame of the vehicle. The exhaust is insulated electrically from the rest of the vehicle by rubber hangers and gaskets at the exhaust manifold, causing the entire exhaust system to be electrically isolated from chassis ground. If a vehicle is equipped with a ground strap, be sure that it is connected at both ends to help ensure long exhaust system life. If static electricity is allowed to discharge from the exhaust system to the body or frame of the vehicle, the resulting arcing points can cause rust or corrosion, shortening the life of the exhaust system. If a new exhaust system is installed, be sure to reattach the ground strap. Most vehicles also use a ground strap connected to the fuel filler tube for the same reason. Ground wires. Purpose and function: all vehicles use ground wires between the engine and body and/or between the body and the negative terminal of the battery. The two types of ground wires are insulated copper wire and braided ground straps. Braided ground straps are uninsulated. It is not necessary to insulate a ground strap because it does not matter if it touches metal, as it already attaches to ground. Braided ground straps are more flexible than stranded wire. Because the engine moves slightly on its mounts, the braided ground strap must be able to flex without breaking. See Figure 44-1. Refer to Figure 44-1. All lights and accessories ground to the body of the vehicle. Body ground wires, such as this one, are needed to conduct all of the current from these components back to the negative terminal of the battery. The body ground wire connects the body to the engine. Most battery negative cables attach to the engine. Skin effect: the braided strap also dampens out some radio frequency interference that otherwise might be transmitted through standard stranded wiring, due to the skin effect. The skin effect is the term used to describe how high-frequency AC electricity flows through a conductor. Direct current flows through a conductor, but alternating current tends to travel through the outside skin of the conductor. Because of the skin effect, most audio or speaker cable is constructed of many small diameter copper wires instead of fewer larger strands, because the smaller wire has a greater surface area and results in less resistance to the flow of AC voltage. Note: body ground wires are necessary to provide a circuit path for the lights and accessories that ground to the body and flow to the negative battery terminal. Frequently asked question: what is a twisted pair? A twisted pair is used to transmit low voltage signals, using two wires that are twisted together. Electromagnetic interference can create a voltage in a wire, and twisting the two signal wires cancels out the induced voltage. A twisted pair means that the two wires have at least 9 turns per foot, or turns per meter. A rule of thumb is a twisted pair should have 1 twist per inch of length. Refer to Figure 44-2. Battery cables are designed to carry heavy starter current and are, therefore, usually 4 gauge or larger wire. Note that this battery has a thermal blanket covering to help protect the battery from high underhood temperatures. The wiring is also covered with a plastic conduit called split loom tubing. Battery cables. Battery cables are the largest wires used in the automotive electrical system. The cables are usually 4 gauge, 2 gauge, or 1 gauge wires, 19 square millimeters or larger. See Figure 44-2. Wires larger than 1 gauge are called 0 gauge, pronounced aught. Larger cables are labeled 20, or 00, 2-aught, and 30, or 000, 3-aught. Electrical systems that are 6 volts require battery cables 2 sizes larger than those used for 12-volt electrical systems, because the lower voltage used in antique vehicles resulted in twice the amount of current, or amperes, to supply the same electrical power. Jumper cables. Jumper cables are 4 to 2-aught gauge electrical cables with large clamps attached, and are used to connect the discharged battery of one vehicle to the good battery of another vehicle. Good quality jumper cables are necessary to prevent excessive voltage drops caused by cable resistance. Aluminum wire jumper cables should not be used, because, even though aluminum is a good electrical conductor, although not as good as copper, it is less flexible and can crack and break when bent or moved repeatedly. The size should be 6 gauge or larger. 1-aught AWG welding cable can be used to construct an excellent set of jumper cables using welding clamps on both ends. Welding cable is usually constructed of many very fine strands of wire, which allow for easier bending of the cable as the strands of fine wire slide against each other inside the cable. Note: always check the wire gauge of any battery cables or jumper cables and do not rely on the outside diameter of the wire. Many lower-cost jumper cables use smaller gauge wire, but may use thick insulation to make the cable look as if it is the correct size wire. Fuses and circuit protection devices. Construction: fuses should be used in every circuit to protect the wiring from overheating and damage caused by excessive current flow as a result of a short circuit or other malfunction. The symbol for a fuse is a wavy line between two points. A fuse is constructed of a fine tin conductor inside a glass, plastic, or ceramic housing. The tin is designed to melt and open the circuit if excessive current flows through the fuse. Each fuse is rated according to its maximum current carrying capacity. Many fuses are used to protect more than one circuit of the automobile. See Figure 44-3. A typical example is the fuse for the accessory socket that also protects many other circuits, such as those for the courtesy lights, clock, and other circuits. A fault in one of these circuits can cause this fuse to melt, which prevents the operation of all other circuits that are protected by the fuse. Fuse ratings: fuses are used to protect the wiring and components in the circuit from damage if an excessive amount of current flows. The fuse rating is normally about 20% higher than the normal current in the circuit. See chart 44-5 for a typical fuse rating based on the normal current in the circuit. In other words, the normal current flow should be about 80% of the fuse rating. Refer to chart 44-5. The fuse rating should be 20% higher than the maximum current in the circuit to provide the best protection for the wiring and the component being protected. Blade fuses, colored blade type fuses are also referred to as ATO fuses and have been used since 1977. The color of the plastic of blade fuses indicates the maximum current flow, measured in amperes. See chart 44-6 for the color and the amperage rating of blade fuses. Each fuse has an opening in the top of its plastic portion to allow access to its metal contacts for testing purposes. See figure 44-4. Mini fuses: to save space, many vehicles use mini, or small, blade fuses. Not only do they save space, but they also allow the vehicle design engineer to fuse individual circuits, instead of grouping many different components on one fuse. This improves customer satisfaction because if one component fails, it only affects that circuit, without stopping electrical power to several other circuits, as well. This makes troubleshooting much easier, too, because each circuit is separate. See chart 44-7 for the amperage rating and corresponding fuse color for mini fuses. Refer to figure 44-3, a typical underhood electrical center abbreviated, UHEC. Most are referred to as an intelligent power distribution box or a smart junction box, because underneath, lower figure, are wires that join the circuits from the maxi fuses to other fuses and to or from relays. Because of these interconnected circuits, if there is a fault due to a collision or water intrusion, most experts suggest replacing the entire assembly rather than trying to repair the assembly. Always check service information for the exact procedures to follow when working with an underhood fuse panel. Refer to chart 44-6, the amperage rating and the color of the blade fuse are standardized. Refer to figure 44-4. Blade type fuses can be tested through openings in the plastic at the top of the fuse. Maxi fuses. Maxi fuses are a large version of blade fuses and are used to replace fusible links in many vehicles. Maxi fuses are rated up to 80 amperes or more. See chart 44-8 for the amperage rating and corresponding color for maxi fuses. See figure 44-5 for a comparison of the various sizes of blade type fuses. Pacific fuse element. First used in the late 1980s, Pacific fuse elements, also called a fuse link or autolink, are used to protect wiring from a direct short to ground. The housing contains a short link of wire sized for the rated current load. The transparent top allows inspection of the link inside. See figure 44-6. Testing fuses. It is important to test the condition of a fuse if the circuit being protected by the fuse does not operate. Most blown fuses can be detected quickly because the center conductor is melted. Fuses can also fail and open the circuit because of a poor connection in the fuse itself or in the fuse holder. Therefore, just because a fuse looks okay does not mean that it is okay. All fuses should be tested with a test light. The test light should be connected to first one side of the fuse and then the other. A test light should light on both sides. If the test light only lights on one side, the fuse is blown or open. If the test light does not light on either side of the fuse, then that circuit is not being supplied power. See figure 44-7. An ohmmeter can be used to test fuses. Caution: only use name brand fuses purchased from a known source. Some off-brand or no brand fuses have been found to not blow until exposed to current levels far exceeding their rating. Fuses that do not blow at the designed rating could cause wiring to overheat and may even cause a fire. Refer to chart 44-7, mini fuse amperage rating and colors. Refer to chart 44-8. Maxi fuse amperage rating and colors. Refer to figure 44-5, three sizes of blade type fuses, mini on the left. Refer to figure 44-6, a comparison of the various types of protective devices used in most vehicles. Circuit breakers. Circuit breakers are used to prevent harmful overload, or excessive current flow, in a circuit by opening the circuit and stopping the current flow to prevent overheating, and possible fire, caused by hot wires or electrical components. Circuit breakers are mechanical units made of two different metals known as bimetallic, that deform when heated, and open a set of contact points that work in the same manner as an off switch. See Figure 44-8. Cycling type circuit breakers, therefore, are reset when the current stops flowing, which causes the bimetallic strip to cool and the circuit to close again. A circuit breaker is used in circuits that could affect the safety of passengers if a conventional non-resetting fuse was used. The headlight circuit is an excellent example of the use of a circuit breaker, rather than a fuse. A short or grounded circuit anywhere in the headlight circuit could cause excessive current flow and, therefore, the opening of the circuit. Obviously, a sudden loss of headlights at night could have disastrous results. A circuit breaker opens and closes the circuit rapidly, thereby protecting the circuit from overheating and also providing sufficient current flow to maintain at least partial headlight operation. Circuit breakers are also used in other circuits where conventional fuses could not provide for the surges of high current commonly found in those circuits. See Figure 44-9 for the electrical symbols used to represent a circuit breaker. Refer to Figure 44-7, to test a fuse, use a test light to check for power at the power side of the fuse. The ignition switch and lights may have to be on before some fuses receive power. If the fuse is good, the test light should light on both sides, or power side and load side, of the fuse. Refer to Figure 44-8. Typical blade circuit breaker fits into the same space as a blade fuse. If excessive current flows through the bimetallic strip, the strip bends and opens the contacts and stops current flow. When the circuit breaker cools, the contacts close again, completing the electrical circuit. Refer to Figure 44-9, electrical symbols used to represent circuit breakers. Examples are the circuits for the following accessories. 1. Power seats. 2. Power door locks, and 3. Power windows. PTC circuit protectors, positive temperature coefficient abbreviated, PTC, circuit protectors are solid state, or, without moving parts. Like all other circuit protection devices, PTCs are installed in series in the circuit being protected. If excessive current flows, the temperature and resistance of the PTC increase. This increased resistance reduces current flow, or amperes, in the circuit and may cause the electrical component in the circuit not to function correctly. For example, when a PTC circuit protector is used in a power window circuit, the increased resistance causes the operation of the power window to be much slower than normal. Unlike circuit breakers or fuses, PTC circuit protection devices do not open the circuit, but rather provide a very high resistance between the protector and the component. See Figure 44-10. In other words, voltage is available to the component. This fact has led to a lot of misunderstanding about how these circuit protection devices actually work. It is even more confusing when the circuit is opened and the PTC circuit protector cools down. When the circuit is turned back on, the component may operate normally for a short time, however, the PTC circuit protector again get hot because of too much current flow. The resistance again increases to limit current flow. The electronic control unit, or computer, used in most vehicles today incorporates thermal overload protection devices. See Figure 44-11. Therefore, when a component fails to operate, do not blame the computer. The current control device is controlling current flow to protect the computer. Components that do not operate correctly should be checked for proper resistance and current draw. Refer to Figure 44-10, Figure A, the normal operation of a PTC circuit protector, such as in a power window motor circuit showing the many conducting paths. With normal current flow, the temperature of the PTC circuit protector remains normal. Figure B, when current exceeds the amperage rating of the PTC circuit protector, the polymer material that makes up the electronic circuit protector increases in resistance. As shown, a high resistance electrical path still exists, even though the motor stops operating, as a result of the very low current flow through the very high resistance. The circuit protector does not reset or cool down until voltage is removed from the circuit. Refer to Figure 44-11. PTC circuit protectors are used extensively in the power distribution center of this Chrysler vehicle. Fusible links. A fusible link is a type of fuse that consists of a short length, or about 6 to 9 inches long, of standard copper strand wire covered with a special non-flammable insulation. This wire is usually 4 wire numbers smaller than the wire of the circuits it protects. For example, a 12-gauge circuit is protected by a 16-gauge fusible link. The special thick insulation over the wire may make it look larger than other wires of the same gauge number. See Figure 44-12. If excessive current flow, caused by a short to ground or a defective component, occurs, the fusible link melts in half and opens the circuit to prevent a fire hazard. Some fusible links are identified with fusible link tags at the junction between the fusible link and the standard chassis wiring, which represent only the junction. Fusible links are the backup system for circuit protection. All current, except the current used by the starter motor, flows through fusible links and then through individual circuit fuses. It is possible that a fusible link melts and does not blow a fuse. Fusible links are installed as close to the battery as possible so that they can protect the wiring and circuits coming directly from the battery. Refer to Figure 44-12. Fusible links are usually located close to the battery and are usually attached to a junction block. Notice they are only 6 to 9 inches long and feed more than one fuse from each fusible link. Refer to mega fuses. Many newer vehicles are equipped with mega fuses instead of fusible links to protect high amperage circuits. Circuits often controlled by mega fuses include charging circuit, HID headlights, heated front or rear glass, multiple circuits usually protected by mega fuses, or mega fuse rating for vehicles, including 80, 100, 125, 150, 175, 225, 250, and 300 amperes. See Figure 44-13. Checking fusible links and mega fuses. Fusible links and mega fuses are usually located near where electrical power is sent to other fuses or circuits, such as starter solenoid battery terminals, power distribution centers, output terminals of alternators, or positive terminals of the battery. Fusible links can melt and not show any external evidence of damage. To check a fusible link, gently pull on each end to see if it stretches. If the insulation stretches, then the wire inside is melted and the fusible link must be replaced after determining what caused the link to fail. Another way to check a fusible link is to use a test light or a voltmeter and check for available voltage at both ends of the fusible link. If voltage is available at only one end, then the link is electrically open and should be replaced. Replacing a fusible link. If a fusible link is found to be melted, perform the following steps. Step 1. Determine why the fusible link failed and repair the fault. Step 2. Check service information for the exact length, gauge, and type of fusible link required. Step 3. Replace the fusible link with the specified fusible link wire and according to the instructions found in the service information. Caution: always use the exact length of fusible link wire required because, if it is too short, it does not have enough resistance to generate the heat needed to melt the wire and protect the circuits or components. If the wire is too long, it could melt during normal operation of the circuits it is protecting. Fusible link wires are usually longer than 6 inches and shorter than 9 inches. Refer to Figure 44-13. Several maxi fuses are used on this Chevrolet to protect all the circuits, including the 300 ampere fuse that is connected directly to the positive battery cable. Tech tip: find the root cause. If a mega fuse or fusible link fails, find the root cause before replacing it. A mega fuse can fail due to vibration or physical damage as a result of a collision or corrosion. Check to see if the fuse itself is loose and can be moved by hand. If loose, simply replace the mega fuse. If a fusible link or mega fuse has failed due to excessive current, check for evidence of a collision or any other reason that could cause an excessive amount of current to flow. This inspection should include each electrical component being supplied current from the fusible link. After being sure that the root cause has been found and corrected, replace the fusible link or mega fuse. Tech tip: look for the green crud. Corroded connections are a major cause of intermittent electrical problems and open circuits. The usual sequence of conditions is as follows. Number 1. Heat causes expansion. This heat can be from external sources, such as connectors being too close to the exhaust system. Another possible source of heat is a poor connection at the terminal, causing a voltage drop and heat due to the electrical resistance. Number 2. Condensation occurs when a connector cools. The moisture from condensation causes rust and corrosion. Number 3. Water gets into the connector. If corroded connectors are noticed, the terminal should be cleaned and the condition of the electrical connection to the wire terminal ends confirmed. Many vehicle manufacturers recommend using a dielectric silicone or lithium-based grease inside connectors to prevent moisture from getting into and attacking the connector. Refer to Figure 44-14. Some terminals have seals attached to help seal the electrical connections. Terminals and connectors. A terminal is a metal fastener attached to the end of a wire, which makes the electrical connection. The term connector usually refers to the plastic portion that snaps or connects together, making the mechanical connection. Wire terminal ends usually snap into, and are held by, a connector. Male and female connectors can then be snapped together, completing an electrical connection. Connectors exposed to the environment are also equipped with a weather-tight seal. See Figure 44-14. Terminals are retained in connectors by the use of a lock tang. Removing a terminal from a connector includes the following steps. Step 1. Release the connector position assurance, abbreviated CPA, if equipped, that keeps the latch of the connector from releasing accidentally. Step 2. Separate the male and female connector by opening the lock. See Figure 44-15. Step 3. Release the secondary lock, if equipped. See Figure 44-16. Step 4. Using a pick, look for the slot in the plastic connector where the lock tang is located, depress the lock tang, and gently remove the terminal from the connector. See Figure 44-17. Refer to Figure 44-15. Separate a connector by opening the lock and pulling the two apart. Refer to Figure 44-16. The secondary locks help retain the terminals in the connector. Refer to Figure 44-17. Use a small removal thule, sometimes called a pick, to release terminals from the connector. Refer to Figure 44-18. Always use rosin core solder for electrical or electronic soldering. Also, use small diameter solder for small soldering irons. Use large diameter solder only for large diameter, or large gauge, wire and higher wattage soldering irons, or guns. Wire. Solder. Many manufacturers recommend that all wiring repairs be soldered. Solder is an alloy of tin and lead used to make a good electrical contact between two wires or connections in an electrical circuit. However, a flux must be used to help clean the area and to help make the solder flow. Therefore, solder is made with a resin, or rosin, contained in the center, called rosin core solder. Caution: never use acid core solder to repair electrical wiring as the acid causes corrosion. See Figure 44-18. An acid core solder is also available, but should only be used for soldering sheet metal. Solder is available with various percentages of tin and lead in the alloy. Ratios are used to identify these various types of solder, with the first number denoting the percentage of tin in the alloy and the second number giving the percentage of lead. The most commonly used solder is 50-50, which means that 50% of the solder is tin and the other 50% is lead. The percentages of each alloy primarily determine the melting point of the solder. 60-40 solder contains 60% tin and 40% lead, and melts at 361 degrees Fahrenheit, or 183 degrees Celsius. 50-50 solder contains 50% tin and 50% lead, and melts at 421 degrees Fahrenheit, or 216 degrees Celsius. 40-60 solder contains 40% tin and 60% lead, and melts at 460 degrees Fahrenheit, or 238 degrees Celsius. Note: the melting points stated here can vary, depending on the purity of the metals used. Because of the lower melting point, 60-40 solder is the most highly recommended solder to use, followed by 50-50. Soldering guns. When soldering wires, be sure to heat the wires, not the solder, using an electric soldering gun or soldering pencil, 60 to 150 watt rating. Butane-powered tool that uses a flame to heat the tip, about 60 watt rating, see Figure 44-19. Refer to Figure 44-19, a butane-powered soldering tool. The cap has a built-in striker to light a converter in the tip of the tool. This handy soldering tool produces the equivalent of 60 watts of heat. It operates for about half hour on one charge from a commonly available butane refill dispenser. Refer to Figure 44-20. Notice that to create a good crimp, the open part of the terminal is placed in the jaws of the crimping tool toward the anvil or the W-shaped part. Soldering procedure. Soldering a wiring splice includes the following steps. Step 1. While touching the soldering gun to the splice, apply solder to the junction of the gun and the wire. Step 2. The solder starts to flow. Do not move the soldering gun. Step 3. Just keep feeding more solder into the splice as it flows into and around the strands of the wire. Step 4. After the solder has flowed throughout the splice, remove the soldering gun and the solder from the splice and allow the solder to cool slowly. The solder should have a shiny appearance. Dull-looking solder may be caused by not reaching a high enough temperature, which results in a cold solder joint. Reheating the splice and allowing it to cool often restores the shiny appearance. Crimping terminals. Terminals can be crimped to create a good electrical connection if the proper type of crimping tool is used. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend that a W-shaped crimp be used to force the strands of the wire into a tight space. See Figure 44-20. Most vehicle manufacturers also specify that all hand crimp terminals or splices be soldered. See Figure 44-21. Heat shrink tubing. Heat shrink tubing is usually made from polyvinyl chloride, abbreviated PVC, or polyolefin, and shrinks to about half of its original diameter when heated. This is usually called a 2-to-1 shrink ratio. Heat shrink by itself does not provide protection against corrosion, because the ends of the tubing are not sealed against moisture. Chrysler Corporation recommends that all wire repairs that may be exposed to the elements be repaired and sealed, using adhesive-lined heat shrink tubing. The tubing is usually made from flame-retardant flexible polyolefin with an internal layer of special thermoplastic adhesive. When heated, this tubing shrinks to 1/3 of its original diameter, 3-to-1 shrink ratio, and the adhesive melts and seals the ends of the tubing. See Figure 44-22. Refer to Figure 44-21. All hand crimped splices or terminals should be soldered to be assured of a good electrical connection. Refer to Figure 44-22. A butane torch especially designed for use on heat shrink applies heat without an open flame, which could cause damage. Crimp and seal connectors. General Motors Corporation recommends the use of crimp and seal connectors as the method for wire repair. Crimp and seal connectors contain a sealant and shrink tubing in one piece and are not simply butt connectors. See Figure 44-23. The usual procedure specified for making a wire repair using a crimp and seal connector is as follows. Step 1. Strip the insulation from the ends of the wire, about 5/16 of an inch or 8 mm. Step 2. Select the proper size of crimp and seal connector for the gauge of wire being repaired. Insert the wires into the splice sleeve and crimp. Step 3. Apply heat to the connector until the sleeve shrinks down around the wire and a small amount of sealant is observed around the ends of the sleeve, as shown in Figure 44-24. Refer to Figure 44-23, a typical crimp and seal connector. This type of connector is first lightly crimped to retain the ends of the wires and then it is heated. The tubing shrinks around the wire splice, and thermoplastic glue melts on the inside to provide an effective weather-resistant seal. Refer to Figure 44-24. Heating the crimp and seal connector melts the glue and forms an effective seal against moisture. Note: use only the specified crimping tool to help prevent the pliers from creating a hole in the cover. Aluminum wire repair. Some vehicle manufacturers used plastic-coated solid aluminum wire for some body wiring. Because aluminum wire is brittle and can break as a result of vibration, it is used only where there is no possible movement of the wire, such as along the floor or sill area. This section of wire is stationary, and the wire changes back to copper at a junction terminal after the trunk or rear section of the vehicle, where movement of the wiring may be possible. If any aluminum wire must be repaired or replaced, the following procedure should be used to be assured of a proper repair. The aluminum wire is usually found protected in a plastic conduit. This conduit is then slit, after which the wires can easily be removed for repair. Step 1. Carefully strip only about 1/4 of an inch, or 6 mm, of insulation from the aluminum wire, being careful not to nick or damage the aluminum wire case. Step 2. Use a crimp connector to join two wires together. Do not solder an aluminum wire repair. Solder does not readily adhere to aluminum because the heat causes an oxide coating on the surface of the aluminum. Step 3. The spliced, crimped connection must be coated with petroleum jelly to prevent corrosion. Step 4. The coated connection should be covered with shrinkable plastic tubing or wrapped with electrical tape to seal out moisture. Frequently asked question. What method of wire repair should I use? Good question. Vehicle manufacturers recommend all wire repairs performed under the hood, or where the repair could be exposed to the elements, be weatherproof. The most commonly recommended methods include crimp and seal connector. These connectors are special and are not like low-cost insulated type crimp connectors. This type of connector is recommended by General Motors and others and is sealed using heat after the mechanical crimp has secured the wire ends together. Solder and adhesive-lined heat shrink tubing. This method is recommended by Chrysler and it uses the special heat shrink that is glue inside that melts when heated to form a sealed connection. Regular heat shrink tubing can be used inside a vehicle, but should not be used where it can be exposed to the elements. Solder and electrical tape. This is acceptable to use inside the vehicle where the splice is not exposed to the outside elements. It is best to use a crimp and seal, even on the inside of the vehicle, for best results. Frequently asked question. What is in lead-free solder? Lead is an environmental and health concern, and all vehicle manufacturers are switching to lead-free solder. Lead-free solder does not contain lead, but usually a very high percentage of DIN. Several formulations of lead-free solder include Formulation number 1, 95% DIN, 5% antimonium and a melting temperature of 450 degrees Fahrenheit, or 245 degrees Celsius. Formulation number 2, 97% DIN, 3% copper and a melting temperature of 441 degrees Fahrenheit, or 227 degrees Celsius. And Formulation number 3, 96% DIN, 4% silver and a melting temperature 443 degrees Fahrenheit, or 228 degrees Celsius. Electrical conduit. Electrical conduit covers and protects wiring. The color used on electrical convoluted conduit tells the technician a lot if some information is known, such as the following. Black conduit with a green or blue stripe. This conduit is designed for high temperatures and is used under the hood and near hot engine parts. Do not replace high temperature conduit with low temperature conduit that does not have a stripe when performing wire repairs. See figure 44-25. Blue or yellow conduit. This color conduit is used to cover wires that have voltages ranging from 12 to 42 volts. Circuits that use this high voltage usually are for the electric power steering. While 42 volts does not represent a shock hazard, an arc is maintained if a line circuit is disconnected. Use caution around these circuits. See figure 44-26. A orange conduit. This color conduit is used to cover wiring that carries high voltage current above 60 volts. These circuits are found in hybrid electric vehicles, HE versus. An electric shock from these wires can be fatal, so extreme caution has to be taken when working on or near the components that have orange conduit. Follow the vehicle manufacturer's instruction for depowering the high voltage circuits before work begins on any of the high voltage components. See figure 44-27. Refer to figure 44-25. Conduit that has a paint stripe is constructed of plastic that can withstand high underhood temperatures. Refer to figure 44-26. Figure A, blue conduit is used to cover circuits that carry up to 42 volts. Figure B, yellow conduit can also be used to cover 42 volt wiring. Refer to figure 44-27. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's instructions, which include the use of linesman's or high voltage gloves if working on circuits that are covered in orange conduit. Review questions. Question 1. What is the difference between the American wire gauge AWG system and the metric system? Question 2. What is the difference between a wire and a cable? Question 3. What is the difference between a terminal and a connector? Question 4. How do fuses, PTC circuit protectors, circuit breakers, and fusible links protect a circuit? Question 5. How should a wire repair be done if the repair is under the hood where it is exposed to the outside? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. The higher the AWG number, A, the smaller the wire diameter, B, the larger the wire diameter, C, the thicker the insulation, D, the more strands in the conductor core. Question 2. Metric wire size is measured in units of A, meters, B, cubic centimeters, C, square millimeters, D, cubic millimeters. Question 3. Which statement is true about fuse ratings? A, the fuse rating should be less than the maximum current for the circuit. B, the fuse rating should be higher than the normal current for the circuit. C, of the fuse rating, 80% should equal the current in the circuit. D, both B and C. Question 4. Which statements are true about wire, terminals, and connectors? A, wire is called a lead, and the metal end is a connector. B, a connector is usually a plastic piece where terminals lock in. C, a lead and a terminal are the same thing. D, both A and C. Question 5. The type of solder that should be used for electrical work is A, rosin core, B. Acid core. Circa 60-40 with no flux. D. 50-50 with acid paste flux. Question 6. A technician is performing a wire repair on a circuit under the hood of the vehicle. Technician says to use solder and adhesive lined heat shrink tubing or a crimp and seal connector. Technician B says to solder and use electrical tape. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Two technicians are discussing fuse testing. Technician A says that a test light should light on both test points of the fuse if it is okay. Technician B says the fuse is defective if a test light only lights on one side of the fuse. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Many ground straps are uninsulated and braided because A. They are more flexible to allow movement of the engine without breaking the wire. B. They are less expensive than conventional wire. C. They help dampen radio frequency interference, or RFI. D. Both A and C. Question 9. What causes a fuse to blow? A. A decrease in circuit resistance. B. An increase in the current flow through the circuit. C. A sudden decrease in current flow through the circuit. D. Both A and B. Question 10. A vehicle has some wiring covered with orange conduit. This indicates what type of circuit? A. 42 volt. B. 12 to 16 volt. C. Variable voltage. D. High voltage. End of chapter 44.